You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Lag BaOmer. This Simchas Hayom is very special from many different perspectives. One is that a lot of the Simcha of the Lag BaOmer is really concentrated around one specific Tana, whose name is Rabbi Kiva, whose Talmidim, Nebuch, were punished because they didn't give proper cover to each other, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Yevamos. And according to a tradition that we have, the actual death of the Talmidim did not take place on Lag BaOmer, and perhaps even ended by Lag BaOmer. And the ability of Rabbi Akiva to find other Talmidim and to continue his teaching of Torah to another group of great Chachamim, the great Chachamim of the Dorim, the southern sect of Eretz Israel, where the Gemara in Masechtas Yevamos enumerates the new Talmidim that he was able to get that replaced his initial 24,000 Talmidim: Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yosi, Rav Shimon, Beleza ben Shmua, and the Gemara says, "Hey, name Hamidu Torah Bosisha." They made sure that the Torah's Masara from Har Sinai, which Rabbi Akiva had at his fingertips, with through his Talmidim and the Sfarim they wrote, that are major sources of our halachic analysis of Torah Shel Baal Peh. Each one of these five Talmidim were a machaber of a different sefer of halacha, medrash halacha, and mishnayis, Kabbalistic literature. All his Talmidim shared all the secrets of Torah on every level with their Sfarim to all later generations that we have Torah literature today on Torah Shel Baal Peh. It's because of the Masoris of Rabbi Akiva Fanu to these five Talmidim, which therefore transmitted this to all further generations until the end of eternity. So Rabbi Akiva really is a pivotal figure in the simcha we have when it comes to Simchas Torah, the Simchas HaTorah we have when it comes to the Lag BaOmer experience. Torah is compared to a fire, Eish HaTorah, Shalheves Ka, fires are lit, bonfires all over, but ultimately the simcha of the Eish HaTorah of Klal Yisrael, of its eternal capacity of spreading the light of Torah to all generations in the universe till the end of time. It's a tremendous Yom Tov, a tremendous Simchas HaYom Tov. The program today, the title of my lecture today, deals with the major hashkafa of Rabbi Akiva that became a living legacy to all his Talmidim and to all later generations. Rabbi Akiva was a mainstay of Hashkafas HaTorah when he was alive, and as I'm going to explain to you very shortly, he's a mainstay of Hashkafas HaTorah as a legacy to us in all generations from his Tekufa till the end of time as well. What was the major Hashkafa of this great Rabbi Akiva? So Chazal say upon him that he had a quality that you see in many Midrashi Chazal, was simply something of a supernatural level. And what is that? He was the personification of what we can call the Baal Maimon par excellence. He was an eternal optimist, believing that everything that happens is a result of the Ratz and Hashem. And therefore, the famous expression that he always used to use is the expression, Gam Zula Tova. Whatever happens to you, momentarily, it might be something that's very negative, but in the bigger picture, you will see towards the end how everything is for the good, everything works out to be the good, and will be a benefit to you and to Klal Yisrael as things develop over time under the divine supervision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvado b'atzmo. Gam zu l'teva. The fact that we see this Rabbi Akiva looking at a tragedy of the destruction of his 24,000 Talmud yeshiva and didn't become disheartened, didn't retire from the field, but decided, I know what happened, I understand the problem why this terrible tragedy took place, and believe me, for a yeshiva to lose 24,000 Talmidim in a short period of time, it is unmanageable. It's almost 1,000 levayos a day. Incomprehensible. And nevertheless, he didn't give up hope of his ability to transmit the Messiah of Klal Yisrael to generations to come. And he chose a new group of Talmidim, 5 rather than 24,000, select a group of individuals that absorbed all of his Torah, which contained all of Teruah Shebichtav, Teruah Shebaal-Peh, Nigla and Ester, and Baruch Hashem, they were able to transmit it, as I mentioned before, to all future generations. Eternal optimism allowed Rabbi Akiva to continue as a Rosh Yeshiva and be the most of the Maseiros of Torah, despite the tragedy he suffered in his role as Rosh Yeshiva in the earlier part of his career. Another example of Rabbi Akiva's eternal optimism is when after Churban Beis Hamikdash took place, we find that, according to the great Aruch HaShulchan, the famous Gadol, who wrote his unique Perush in Shulchan Aruch, this Gadol, the Aruch HaShulchan, wrote a Perush on the Haggadah. And in it he says, on the Maisa, Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe Yeshua, Rebbe Lezer, Ben Azaria, Rekiva, Rebbe Tarfin, Sheyid Mesuba, Ben Ebrak, Hoyim Esarpa, B'yasiyas, Esraim, Kol Esa, Laila, all these Hassan came to Rebbe Kiva, he was the Marad Asr in Ben Ebrak, they all came to be with him that Pesach Seder that night, and they spoke out, and they darshened the Haggadah the entire evening, Mikaim the mitzvah chazal kol amaber is a meshuvah. The more you are mesaper, the greater hidur it is, and the kima of the mitzvah being mikaim the mitzvah. CPC is Mitzrayim. Talmidim came and they told him, Rabbi Seinu, it's time to daven the morning kriyas shma shachris. So the big question the Aruch HaShulchan asks is that if you look at the Torah personalities that came to the seder, they weren't just talmidim. Many were colleagues. Some were even rabbeim. Why did they all come to Rabbi Akiva to participate in his Pesach Seder after Churban Bayis Sheni? What was the rationale behind it? So the answer given by the Aruch HaShulchan is very pelodic. Since they realize the eternal optimism of Rabbi Akiva, and there was tremendous amount of pessimism taking place after the beautiful, magnificent Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by the Roman Empire, how many Jews, Rachmanu Litzlan, were killed, the destruction of the Torah center of Klal Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash, everything was literally destroyed entirely. True, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai negotiated to have Yavne the Chachamera. But the future was very, very bleak. And then after that, to have more tragedies take place, and to have more destruction that took place in Klaus when it comes to the major terror communities that were further destroyed at the time of the Bar Kochma revolution. Romans took Nakama and destroyed another millions and millions of Jews. They didn't want to bury their bodies. There was tremendous, tremendous feelings of what's going to be with us. What's going to be with the future of Klal Yisrael? And the only person they felt that could perhaps give them an answer and give them hope, whether they were Talmidim, Chaverim, or even Rabbeim, was the great giant Rabbi Kiva, the eternal optimist. And they wanted to see in this Pesach Seder how Rabbi Kiva can give them some type of glimpse, Gamzula Teva, somehow there's hope for the future. And Klal Yisrael will not be destroyed. The Churban of Beitar and the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash is not the end of Yiddishkeit and Teva. And that entire night, Rabbi Kiva was Malich as being the Masada HaSeder, the Marada Asra, giving them an understanding, how to understand the historical events taking place, and to realize the Yad HaShem is behind the scenes, and ultimately, Churban will turn into Geula. That's what they came to hear. That's what they came to experience. So that after Pesach, to be able to go away, go back to the respective positions where they are, and teach Rabbi Kiva's Torah to their specific disciples, to spread the message that hope is going to be seen in the future, Gamzu L'Tova, and the ultimate redemption will take place. To dramatize this concept, and to see Rabbi Kiva in action, how he's able to do this, there's a very famous Gemara at the end of Masechtas Makos. And this Gemara describes what happened after Churban Bayis Sheni, where Rabbi Kiva, together with Rav Gamliel, Rabbi Elezer ben Azariah, they were heads of the Sanhedrin HaGadol, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Kiva with them, came to Har Tzofim and Scopus and looked down at the floor of the Beis HaMikdash that was destroyed, Rachmel Litzlan, by the Roman legion. Let me read you some of the Gemara and then tell you and show you how Rabbi Kiva reacted to it, the message he gave, and the response of all these other Gedolei Hadar to where Rabbi Kiva taught them at this specific occurrence, to show you the power of Rabbi Kiva and why everybody sought his help in trying to figure out all different types of problems confronting Klal Yisrael. And what he said to them, which I'm going to share with you today, has meaning and significance to the end of time, and I'm going to show you how this relates to our generation and our history as well, specifically as it relates to Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara tells us, Shum Pamachas, it happened that these Chachamim I just mentioned with Rabbi Kiva, they went and they came to Har HaTzofim. When they saw the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, they taught Kriya on their begadim like you're supposed to. Came in Shigil HaBais as they came a little closer in places they were allowed to go. That on the Harabayas, but near the Harabayas in the perimeters, what did they see? Rosho Shiyotzim Beis Kodshe Kodshim. They saw a fox coming out of the place that used to be when the Beis HaMikdash was in existence, the Kodesh Kedoshim, the holiest place in the Makom HaMikdash. That's the place that once a year the Kohen Gadol had a right to enter on Yom Kippur to Mispalel. That's the place where the Aron HaKodesh was placed in Bayis Rishon. And in Bayis Sheni, it wasn't above ground anymore. The Rambam says, in Hilchos Beis HaBechir, the Aron HaKodesh was placed underground by Yoshi HaMelech in an underground cavity, Mechuvan Keneged, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And when they saw the desecration of the Mokim HaMikdash, with wild animals, foxes running in and out on the Kodesh Kedoshim, Hischilo Hengbochim, they started to cry. And what was Rabbi Kiva's response? Mitzachek. But don't interpret Mitzach to mean he started to laugh. Somehow a smile came over his face, and they were astonished. Amrulai said to Rabbi Kiva, "Menei ba'atom etzachi. Why does a smile have a smile? How can you have a smile?" Amrulahem, he said to them, "Menei ba'atom etzachi. Why are you so crying so much?" Amrulho, they said to him, "Mokiv shekasubo hazar hakaved yumas." That there's a hisa deraisa to go in that mokom, and if you're not authorized, a chayv misa from the Rabbeinu Shalom directly. Achshav shulam hilchabo. We see the desecration of the Makom HaMikdash, the level of its, unfortunately, desolate nature that it's in at this point in time, the desolation and the destruction. V'lo nivka. We shouldn't cry. And shulam hilchabo. Wild animals desecrating the location. Amalehem, he said to them, "I understand your feelings, but let me explain my feelings, why I had a smile." And he quotes a pasuk, a peledik of pasuk, that comes from Sefer Yeshaya HaNavi Periches. And I want to quote you the full pasuk, because the Gemara doesn't quote the full pasuk, to hear what it says. Eidali Eidim Nemanim, Yeshaya says, "I'm going to give you the Eidus of two reliable witnesses, as Uriah HaKoyen, the Nevuah of Uriah HaKoyen, that happened to live during the first Beis HaMikdash, and Zechariahu ben Yevarchiyahu, the famous Navi Zechariah, who was a major functionary, even during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, part of the Anshei Knesset Agadela. I'm going to quote the Nevuah of these two Nevi'im and give you a very important message." And the Gemara tells us, as we go back inside, after I just read you the Pasuk, he says to his fellow Tanoim, "Ma'inyan Uri Eitzel Zechariah. Why did Yeshaya HaNavi, who lived during the first Tekuva Bayis Rishon, put together Nevuahs of Uriah and Zechariah? Uriah was a Navi, B'Mikdash HaRishon. Zechariah was a major Navi in the second Beis HaMikdash as well. Ella, what does this show us? That in the mind of Yeshaya HaNavi, what happened? Tala HaKosev, Nivuashel Zechariah. That the Pasuk in Yeshaya, the Yeshaya said with prophetic spirit, linked the Nevuah of Uriah to the Nevuah of Zechariah. They were linked together. What was the linkage?" So says over here, Rabbi Kiva, the following. Uriah was Misnabe. Lechem begalalchem siin sada techoresh. Because of the chatoim of Klai Yisrael and Bayis Rishon, Avodah Zarah, Gil Reis, of Shechaz Adam, as the Gemara says in Masechta Siyoma, The first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, plowed asunder, nothing left. What was the nevuah of Zechariah? So he quotes a magnificent pasuk. The pasuk says in its entirety, "Koyram Hashem Tzavakites." What did Hashem say? Oh, Yeshu Zekeinim Zekeinos. There's a time that's got to come. Old men and women will be sitting Berechavos Yerushalayim in the parks of Yerushalayim. Ish Mishata Biyadam Rav Yomim. They're going to live to a ripe old age. They're going to be walking with walking stick, with canes, as they sit and walk around the park. Urechavos Ayir Yomolo Yeladam Yeladais Besachim Berechaveseha. You'll have young men and young women, little boys and girls playing in that park and literally enjoying the environment. That's the nevuah of Zechariah Hanavi. So says Rabbi Akiva, there seems to be, according to Yeshayah Hanavi, a linkage between the nevuah of destruction of Uriah HaKayan and Zechariah concerning a period of redemption, incredible redemption. What does this teach us? What did Yeshayah want to teach us with this connective link? So says Rabbi Akiva the following. Until I saw Uriah's Nevuah take place by Churban by Yesheni, I was fearful that the Nevuah Zechariah of redemption will not take place anymore. But now that I see the Nevuah of Uriah was fulfilled, I know his Nevuah will likewise be fulfilled. And when the other Tanaim heard what Rabbi Akiva said, Omlo Akiva Nechamtanu Nechamtanu. You've given us Nechama. You've given us hope. Somehow the good will come out of the destruction as well. A Gamzula Teva. I'm reading the cryptic Gemara. For many years, while I used to learn Masechtas Makos and read this Gemara, I was still bewildered. Because even after you hear the Pasuk quotes from Yeshayah, and the connection of these two nevuahs, I always asked myself, what is the ultimate message? Why did these gedolei hatanoim get a nechama? Some feeling of consolation, a feeling of hope that good times will come in the future. So I want to share with you today one of the most powerful statements ever made by a Gadol, whose sefer was the Beis HaLevi, Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, one of the last Rosh Yeshivas of the Volozhin Yeshiva. He writes in his drashas that are in Hashelas and Shuvais, a perush of this Gemara that has eternal value, which if you listen carefully, you'll understand what I mean. And I think by the time I finish today, you'll also feel a nechama and realize why we have to have a simcha gedola to have as the major gadol hadar of the tkufas hatanoim that was pivotal in the Mesiris, halachan hashkafikli, the great and prestigious Rabbi Akiva, zecher tzadik livracha. This is what the Beis HaLevi does to interpret it. We know for a fact that Rabbi Akiva was a tremendous maimon in order to have the concept of being the eternal optimist. Habakkuk, one of the last Nevi'im, writes that there's one principle that is the principle that tzaddikim have, that tzaddikim live by, and that is tzaddik benusi yichya. Tzaddikim live and survive with eternal imuna, eternal belief, eternal optimism. In fact, that Maime Chazal precedes the story I just read to you. What is the whole dialogue between Rabbi Kiva and his Chaver? Rabbi Kiva said to them, my dear fellow Tanoim, Emunat Kadosh Baruch Hu and Bitokom is the major yesod in Hashkafas HaTorah. It always was, it always will be, as Habakkuk emphasizes. And if that's the case, we have to look in the Nevi'im and in Mamori Chazal to understand what Yeshaya HaNavi did, giving us an eternal message concerning Churban HaBayis and the concept of Geula. Rabbi Kiva says that if you go back to the Bris Bein HaBesar between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the others, Lech Lecha, we have the initial statement of the Bris Bein HaBesar. Remember, that's the Bris we highlight on the night of Pesach by the Seder. We pick up the case of Yayin. He sha'amda lavaseinu, she'b'chol dar v'dar oimdim aleinu lechalaseinu, v'ha'kadosh baruch hu masileinu mi'ogam. Despite all the various things being mentioned in the Haggadah of the torture that we unfortunately underwent in our Egyptian exile, the Hinui, the Tuma, the murder taking place of the Alde B'nai Yisrael, despite the Machshav of Paro, Kalal Yisrael did not decrease in size, they increased in size. Kashayanu Yisrael Kayir Bevayifarats. They wanted to commit genocide, but they were incapable of it. Why? Because in the Bris Bein HaBesarim, when Hashem says that He's going to be our mug and our shield, that means Hashem is going to shield us from destruction. He'll shield Kalal Yisrael and give us indestructibility. The first promise of the Bris Bein HaBesarim, Magen Avos, Magen Avraham. The second promise is the concept of Vayetzel HaChutzah. He took him outside and said to Avraham, you're worried about you and Sarah can't physically produce a baby. I'm taking you outside, and the Gemara interprets this to mean that you are not subject to natural law. Look at the universe I created. Incredible. You are indestructible and you're going to survive. And you are sorry going to have children. That's going to be the history of the Jewish people. Physically, spiritually, geopolitically. He then promised them the Matana of Israel as their Marasha, which was restated explicitly in Pashas Va'era later on. They weren't just Dala Lishonas of Gula, but there are six, as the Chassam Sofer points out, in that specific Pasha. Well, besides the four Lishonas of Gula, you have the Lishonas as well of that specific narrative, which talks about Hashem giving us Eretz Israel and our inheritance of Eretz Israel after Matan Torah takes place. That's an eternal promise to Klal Yisrael. And that's why it's called a Marasha. Only two things are a Marasha in the Torah's literature. Torah is a Marasha. Torah Tziva Lana Moshe Marasha Kilas Yaakov, and Eretz Israel is a Marasha. Marasha is not only an inheritance, it's a heritage. An eternal Matan of Hashem to Klal Yisrael that can never, ever, ever be taken away from us, no matter what the circumstances might be. It's our heritage, and we have to maintain the Shlemus of the Torah and Eretz Israel and pass it on to the next generations to the end of time. And the fourth comment of the Bris Bein HaBesarim, that nothing is a freebie in this world. There's no divine nepotism. For Klal Yisrael to deserve this, and be in a state of redemption, we have to be Zoche. The schus of Torah v'mitzvos allows us to be in a geula mode, a redemption mode. If Klal Yisrael sin and commit averos chamuros, what's going to happen is they're going to have to do tshuva. They're going to need a kapara. That's what galus accomplishes. Momentarily putting us in galus, depriving us of Eretz Yisrael, depriving us of the Beis Hamikdash, giving us an esayrus to do tshuva, causes a kapara to take place, and ultimately speaking, once we've done a proper tshuva, and we've returned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gula will return, and we'll go from Galus back to Gula. Where the Klal Yisrael as the Am Nitzchi, the Am Segula of Hashem, lives a life of Gula or of Galus, depends upon how we conduct ourselves when it comes to Torah v'mitzvahs. These are the four themes of the Bris Ben HaBesarim. That's why Tzadikim, like Rabbi Kiva, when they think of it, they're full of tremendous bitachon and emuna, because Hashem gave His promises. He goes to no other nation on the face of this earth. And that's why we're here to talk about it today. And all the great empires of the past, Babylonia, Persia, Greece, and Rome.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The Arab Empire. Later on, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam v'Zichram, and even the Arab world today, they've never, ever been able to get rid of the Jewish people, no matter how hard they tried. It was a mission impossible, prevented by the Bris Ben HaBesarim. Yisha'om Dolan, Lavaseinu, that despite each and every generation wants to destroy us, Hashem is Matzeleinu Miyoda. And that's why we're here today, to say the Shem saying, because of that promise. Rabbi Kiva said, what was the Musar Shmuz of Yeshaya? Yeshaya initially talked about the first Beis HaMikdash, when that Chorban took place. What's going to happen to the Jewish people? So Yeshaya said, Chorban is because of Yom HaTayim. That's where the Chorban took place. Three Averus Chamorus I mentioned before. And you need Kapara for Kapara purposes to Ma'ir Klal Yisrael to do Tshuva. That's the Nevuah of Urni HaKayin. Beglalchem, because of your Maisim Harayim, your Averus, the Beis HaMikdash will be literally destroyed and totally, physically annihilated. Literally, plows will plow away every part of the constructed part of the Beis HaMikdash. It'll be like a plowed field. But then, Yeshaya says, but there's hope. If Klal Yisrael do tshuva and return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and will have Kapara, and the Nevuah was ultimately by the Nevi'im, 70 years from them, at that time of Golus, you will be zoche once again for a gevula, a redemption, and the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and you return to Eretz Yisrael, which happened 7 years later. Ezra, Nehemiah, Zechariah was around then, and he saw what's happening. That's a gevula concept. Not only Eretz Yisrael will be rebuilt, not only will the Jews return to Eretz Yisrael, and the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, but also all of the areas of life will be filled with people of all ages, and they'll be able to live in peace with Menuchas HaNefesh. All people will be able to live out their years to the end of their life, sitting parks. Might get weak and have to walk with a cane, but they'll be able to enjoy the parks. A little kinderlach, you'll hear the voices singing and dancing and playing in the streets. That shows you the powerful gula redemption. Living in Eretz Yisrael, besimchas alev, nuchas hanefesh, without oppression, without anybody trying to kill us, to live a life of that Shibur HaMalchiyos. That's the Nevuah that was espoused and mentioned by Zechariah HaNavi. All of that is predicated on the promises of the Bris Bein HaMesavim. Golus and Geula Mode depend upon you, Klal Yisrael. And when you see destruction, that's for kapara purposes. But kapara, once it's completed, and you are have a total kapara and shuvah, you will see the miracles of Geula of redemption. Says the Beis Halevi, that was the Nevuah Yeshaya said on Bayis Risho. Rabbi Kiva, however, when he saw a Churban Bayis Sheni, he wondered if the promises of Yeshaya and Novi combining these Nevuahs together are going to happen when it comes to Bayis Sheni as well. So he says, when I saw the Nevuah of the level of destruction of Bayis Rishon happened a second time in Bayis Sheni. You saw the Mokam HaMikdash with me plowed asunder. Shulam Hilchelbay. Once again, we have a reliving because of the Averis of Bayis Sheni, the Sineschinim, and everything else. A total destruction of the Mokam HaMikdash. It's plowed asunder. And therefore, once I saw that Yeshaya's Nevuah was not a one-time event of Bayis Rishon to Bayis Sheni, but it's happening again when it comes to Bayis Sheni, the Kapara of Churban HaBayis has simulated that of Bayis Rishon. That guarantees me that the Besura Teva of Geula of Zechariah will apply to what happened by Bayis Sheni, and there'll be a Geula Hashlishis with the rebuilding of the third Beis HaMikdash, the Kivas Golias of Klal Yisrael, and the rebuilding of Eretz Yisrael for Klal Yisrael throughout the world. One day that will happen with the Mashiach coming and the final redemption and the end of days. That's the message Rabbi Kiva gave to his fellow Tanoim. And when they heard how Rabbi Kiva saw the event, how he interpreted Yeshaya's Nevuah concerning the definite outcome of the event, they said, Nechamtanu, Nechamtanu. But the Beis Halevi doesn't stop there. The Beis Halevi goes deeper. What does it mean that Klal Yisrael are kicked out of Eretz Yisrael? Why is that such a guarantee? Petaris Kapara and Churban. And it's not just being kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. When you read the Psukim that describe the Churban in the Torah are literally something incomprehensible. There's one Pasuk in the Torah which the Beis Halevi quotes, which is contained at the end of Pashas Bukhukosai, one of the Pashas Shavu of this week, where Hashem says, when I throw you into Golos, if you rebel against me, Hashimosi Anias Oretz, I'll make the land a place of total desolation. Veshomole Oyevechem Ayoshimba, and the non-Jewish world, who might try to replace you, will find the land totally desolate vis-a-vis them as well. So the Beis Halevi says, if you look very carefully on this pasuk, you got to look at the ultimate sifra and ultimately the Ramban on the pasuk to understand what this specific statement's all about. And with it, he'll understand where Rabbi Kiva was telling his fellow Chavarim at that time, and the message to us today, as I will apply it. Ramban in Chumash says on this specific Medrash Chazal, what is it coming to teach us? Why was it necessary not only to destroy the Beis HaMikdash and to throw us into Golos for Kapar and Tshuva, but to make Eretz Yisrael totally desolate? Everybody will find it desolate. Jew and non-Jew alike? What's the reason? Let me read you the Ramban. The Ramban says, when it says, Shavu le'avecha yoshvim ba, believe it or not, the Ramban quoting the Medrash, and the Medrash comes from the Sifra, written by one of Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim. Hu besura teiva. It's a good statement of good tidings for the Jews. Mevaseres b'chol ha'golius. It gives us a divine declaration that whenever Klaus will sins and goes into Golus mode, Ein artzeinu mikabeles es oyevenu. Eretz Israel does not welcome our adversaries to live in Eretz Israel instead of us. Zuraria gedola v'avtacha lanu. This is an incredible proof and a concept of bitachin for us, that in Eretz Israel, that was the most beautiful land that ever zavas chalava davash, toivu rechava, and all of a sudden, it becomes the most shemama land on the face of this earth, total churban. What's the reason, says the Ramban? Kemeyaz yotzalim imela, as soon as we had to leave Eretz Israel, Lo kibla huma walasha. Eretzel never allowed any nation to come and replace us and live in our stead and make Israel their national homeland successfully. Kula mishtalim lahoshiva vein del yadam. All the major empires who destroyed the land, Babylonia, Persia, the Greeks, the Romans, tried to get rid of us, displace us, and use Eretz Israel as an extension of their empire. But they never succeeded. Despite their technology and their success agriculturally, where they lived in their homeland, they cannot replicate this in Eretz Israel. Eretz Israel refused to be an Eretz Zavas Chalavu Davash for any other Umba Volashan on the face of this earth. The Ramban says that's exactly what Hashem said in Bukhu Kosai, that all the land will be in a state of Shemama when you're in a state of Golos and Churban. Even the Goyim will find a Shemama for the following reason. Hashem wants the land of Eretz, which is one of the promises of the Bris Bein HaBesachim. The two actual Lashonos of Gula mentioned in Parshas Vayera, that Eretz should be the Marash of Klal Yisrael for eternity. Whether we live there or not, it's our Marash. And Hashem doesn't want our Marash to be taken away by any other nation on the face of this earth. Eretz Yisrael prevents other Ubas having the ability to take our place by making it a place that is Shmama, incapable of sustaining human life. You can't develop agriculture there. You can't live in a state of Teltushma. Even birds and animals couldn't survive in that environment, as you read the Psukim in Tanakh. This therefore means that when Klais are in Golis, for Kapara purposes and such, Eretz Israel is held and watched over by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to stay our inheritance, our Marasha for eternity, until we're Zocha to have the Schus of Gula take place, and to return, and Erezah once again, we've got Erezah Vaz Chalavu Davash. The Gemara says in Masech, the Sanhedrin Daf Tzadiches, that if you want to know whether we're in Golas mode or Gula mode, look at the state of vegetation in Eretz Israel. If it's Shemama, we're in Golas mode. If it's in a state of fruition, it becomes an Erez Avas Chalavu Davash. That's a simon of Geula, redemption, and returning to Eretz Israel. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, and the Loshin is quite startling. The Gemara says in Sadiches, Amar Rav Abba, there's no bigger raya of the ultimate end of Golas in the beginning of Gula than the fruition of Eretz Yisrael. Shenel a pasuk from Yecheskel. Atem hara Yisrael anavchem titenu piyachem tisulam Yisrael. When Hashem says to the Eretz Yisrael, give us your fruit, the earth, give us your vegetables, give us all your agricultural produce, my Klal Yisrael. When Hashem gives that tzav, and is coming in plentitude, Rashi says, well, you see, Piriya ben Yofer, Ojekarev hekeitz, Eloch hekeitz v'guli yosin. There's no greater sign of redemption. Rabbi Kiva therefore said to his fellow Tanoim, we're now in a Golas mode. We're now in a Shemama mode. And that was forecast in the Brisbane of Asarim. If we're in a state of Avinos, Golino Miartzeinu, we know the result. But the destruction is not a Simon Ra for eternity. It's a way of making sure that nobody will want to live here instead of us. It's being held in abeyance by HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Shmama for our future return. What Yeshaya Novi taught us in the Psukim he quoted, that sometimes you have destruction because of your chatayim. I have to kick you out. I have to put you in galus momentarily for kapara purposes, to rouse you to do tshuva. But that's only temporary. Ultimately, Zechariah's nevu will take place. One day, Jews will return to Eretz Israel, and you will build Eretz Israel. It'll become once again Eretz of Askelov and Devash, and the Beis Hamikdash will be built. Shiva and Torahs and seminaries will flourish in Eretz Israel, and people will have beautiful parks built for Zakenim, Zakenos, Yelodim, Yelodos, to relax and take their time with, to enjoy themselves in this type of environment. This is the eternal message which Rabbi Kiva gave his fellow Tanoim. Realize the Brisbane Abbasavim. Realize the Pusik in Pashas Bechukosai. What is the reason behind Shemama on the level of Shemama that we're witnessing? The Shemama is, as Yeshaya says, a simon. An ability to live there is the simon we're going to return one day. And that's an eternal message. And when his fellow Tanaim heard that, they says, Rabbi Kiva, Nichamtanu, Nichamtanu. You've given us a different perspective about destruction, how to interpret it, how to understand it. It doesn't mean we should lose hope. On the contrary, the level and the type of destruction is a simon of the perpetuation of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael in generations to come. We now understand what Yeshaya said. We now understand the Musa Shmuz of Rabbi Kiva. And we see Rabbi Kiva's eternal optimism. And that's why everybody used to come to him for chizuk on the famous Pesach Seder. Nichamtanu, Nichamtanu, this is Rabbi Kiva, the Gamzulu Teifa. I want to give you in the last couple of minutes a practical application to show you that we've seen this with our own eyes. I want you to listen very carefully. This is unique. The Beis Halevi didn't see what I'm talking about now, but what he said is the message of Rabbi Kiva we have witnessed, and I'll tell you when. Baruch Hashem, the Gedolim told us that with the Balfour Declaration, with the League of Nations, special declaration of what the British wanted to do, the King of Britain wanted to do, to give Jews back a Jewish homeland. And later, the famous vote of the UN in 1947, and the Declaration of the State in 1948, and ultimately, the Ummas Olam voting to give us back Eretz Israel, the great Gedolim of that time, Rabbeinu Simcha, the Vince, the Chafetz Chaim, the Avnei Nezer, Ostrov Sereb, I can go down a list of Gedolei Hadar, said that this is the Gula of Shalazach Klal Yisrael mentioned on the same Gemara Dav Tzadiches Amibes, the Ve'ita Achishener dialogue. And the Gemara says there are two types of gulas, gula shazach, gula shalav zachu. Gula Shazachu is with supernatural miracles happening like by Yetzias Mitzrayim. Gula Shalozachu is like Klaus had by the time of Purim. We got back here at Israel. The decree of first Kodesh and then Daryovish Hasheni. We rebuilt the second Beis Hamikdash. That's the Gula Shalozachu. It's Merishian HaMalchus with the help of the Umas Eilam. We were able to return to rebuild Eretz Israel. All these Gedolim's names I just mentioned, when they saw what's happening from the statement of the Balfour Declaration all the way to 1948 and after that, the war of 2 years where the Goyim, the Arabs, wanted to annihilate us. Everybody was betting the Arabs would win. Millions against thousands. The best armed armies on the face of this earth against a bunch of freedom fighters. Rabbi Nadav Ad, may the miracle took place in the eyesight of the entire world. Rav Soloveitchik says in his Ksavim on this, if you want to know what open miracles are that show you the Yad Hashem, Begolui, look at Hakamas HaMedina and all the miracles that took place to cause this thing to take place. 75 years later on, we have a magnificent Medina in Eretz Israel. We have our own army, believe it or not, that have done miracles of Rabbi Adnayatim over many times, not only 1948, the Six-Day War. You look at all the Gedolei Hador that looked at those events, Ramosh amongst them. Bab-Jab, I can go down the list of all the Gedolim who talked about this. And they said, this is a miracle from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even HaKadosh Yisrael wrote in the historical Svarim. What did they quote the Pasuk in Hallel? Me'eis Hashem ha'yizo zois. He niflos be'ineinu. This is an incredible phenomenon. After 2,000 years, Hashem is giving back us to our Eretz Yisrael. We got to build it. We got to develop it. We got to inculcate religion into our Kamas HaMedina. You not only have to have secular Zionists that are excited, you have to have religious Zionists that are excited. People have to be tzionim like the Ramban was, and his Ava Eretz Israel, as the Kuzari was, and Yehuda Levi, and their Ava Eretz Israel, and all the other Gedolim that talk with tremendous Asiris about how we're supposed to have Chaviv is the love for Eretz Israel, as the Sefer Charedim records in his specific Sefer on Tayag Mitzvahs. If you look at the history of Medina's Eretz over 75 years, it's surreal. Sulmaila Mederech HaTeva. And boy, oh boy, the Goyim is still going strong, trying to destroy us. After now, they realize they can't defeat us on a battlefield. We've proven it to them that God's behind us, helping us in all mission impossible. And then they realize the only thing they can try to do is terrorism. There's no battlefield. Everything becomes a battlefield. And people are crazy enough to commit suicide just to kill Jews. It's difficult. It's difficult to stop this craziness. But Derech HaTeva. But the Rabbi Lushlam has given Klal Yisrael a certain chizuk, emunah bitachon, that despite all the hardships, the land is flourishing. The industry of Eretz is no longer agricultural. You can't boycott it anymore. It is technology that is running the world today. And the major place that's developing technology for the entire world at large is Eretz Israel. They are the leaders of technology. All the major startups that ultimately are bought up by companies around the world, including America, for billions of dollars. They started with the Chacham of Technology developing Eretz Israel. All the major corporations of the world, Intel, IBM, Apple, everybody has to have a headquarters in Eretz Israel in order to be able to benefit from the brilliance Hashem gave to Klaus and the Jewish people as being the Am Segula, the Am HaNifchar. We're living in an incredible tekufa. And we have a lot of tzaris. But to understand that Hashem sending us simanim of ultimate Gula redemption. I want to mention one historical event, and I'll end with this. I was Zalcha many years ago, still Rav of the White Shul, to go with 10 other Rabbanim through One Israel Fund to go to what was once a major yishuv in the Gaza Strip of beautiful Jewish communities that were built there to inhabit that location. We went at a time that the Gaza Strip was under tremendous bombardment from crazy mushugayim of the kanoim of the Arab world, the Palestinians and all of the other people working with them. And we came with a special mission to try to give chizuk to the Jews who are living there, that Hashem will help us, we'll be able to overcome the terrorism and maintain a hold of Eretz Israel and be able to keep it as our Russia for eternity. But it wasn't easy for them to live there. And all the Rabbanim who went into that area, special armored buses, we were surrounded by the army, tanks and everything else to protect us. Hashem ultimately protected us. And we saw the magnificent infrastructure that Klal Yisrael built in the Gaza Strip. They took a place that was Shemama, that the Arabs told us was Shemama, and made it into a Garden of Eden. A very, very powerful agricultural developed area worth billions and billions and billions of dollars. And they employed not only Jews, they gave the Palestinians a panasa working for us. The Arabs who were there, who were in contact with us and lived with us in peace, had panasa, besides Claudius living there and having that part of Eretz Israel. It was a major, major place of defense of the inner heart of Eretz Israel when it comes to us holding on to it, as the generals told us Rabbanim in a special meeting we had with them. This guarantees the safety of the interior of Eretz Israel. It's very important we hold on to it. If you remember, unfortunately, the government made a big mistake. Land for Peace, they decided they're going to do something that was ended up being very foolish. We're going to give them back the Gaza Strip, let them have the whole thing, get Druze and literally evacuate them as they did. I still remember watching on the screen, my computer, how they took the Jews out of the Gaza Strip. I was crying. I'm sure those of you who saw it were also crying. How can Jews pull other Jews out of parts of Eretz Israel to make the Arabs happy? To make them feel good that they won? But to see the Yad Hashem that happened next was what I want to share with you. You would think that the Arab world, the Palestinians, being given over an agricultural developed area on the level that it was, billions and billions of dollars in economic power, instead of going into this area and taking it over and utilizing this as a way of giving all the Palestinians, the Arabs living there, a parnasa, taking our homes and living in them, even taking our shuls and maybe making them into mosques, that entire infrastructure, incredible. What did they do instead? Within almost 24 hours, if you remember watching on the screen, they took everything that was available for their benefit and they reduced it to zero. They destroyed all the synagogues, destroyed all the houses, destroyed the billion-dollar commercial entity of agricultural production. They made it totally a land of Shemama. Total desolation. I said to myself, it runs against human comprehension. What's the seichel? But then I realized, after knowing this Gemara, knowing the Beis Halevi, and what Rabbi Akiva said, Hashem's sending us a message, and this is what I want to leave you with. Churban Bayis Sheni was also incomprehensible. Churban Bayis Rishon. That you wanted to kick the Jews and put them into galus. We understand why Babylonia did what it did. And we understand why the Romans won. They wanted to control Eretz Israel, make it part of their empire. But you would think they would take the first temple or the second temple and make it into a pagan temple. The second base of Migdash was the most beautiful, magnificent when it comes to architectural structure. The Gemara says the Sukkah that ever existed as a temple in this world. Instead of taking our temple and turning it into a pagan temple, which logically the Romans should have done, they reduced it to ashes. They plowed it over. They destroyed it with their own hands. They made the place shmamot, uninhabitable. Is this something you could understand? No. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowing Goyim, because of their hatred and sinna, Makalkelis Ashura, to do crazy things that cause their own self-destruction. They reduced the place to Shmama, so it couldn't be inhabited by them. Why? Because Hashem says when you kick Jews out of Eretz Israel, it has to be Shmama so nobody else can take their place. And that happened by Bayis Rishon, it happened by Bayis Sheni, and it happened over here when it comes to the evacuation from Gaza. It was uninhabitable, and to this very day, it's still Shmama, because until Jews return, it will not be once again Eretz Avas Chalav Udavash. We have Rabbi Akiva's interpretation of Yeshaya Hanavi's pasuk coming live before us. And when I saw what happened, how they dealt with the Gaza Strip, how they made it Shmama, I remember that Gemara says, Hashem is sending us a message. Despite what the Israeli government thought they're doing, despite what the Arabs thought they're accomplishing, this is going to be Shmama until Klaus or return to the Gaza Strip and rebuild it once again. And it's a simon, as the Pasuk says, that once you see Shmama on that type of level, such destruction, that's a sign of Gula, loss of Levi. We see in Eretz Israel, slowly but surely, we're recouping all the lands that were under Arab control by the Six-Day War. Whatever we didn't get in 1948, we got back in the Six-Day War, which was Beloish Lamaludi Dedechateva, as Rav Moshe said. Rav Moshe says this is a simon that the exile is going to end. Rechaim Zatzal, before he passed away, said, the Mashiach is standing around the corner, ready to come. There's so many Simon Yigula taking place in front of our eyes. Every day in Eretz Israel, the Jewish population is growing. The amount of religious Torah Jews that are there now, who are sitting and learning Torah. Baruch Lion says we never had in Jewish history, for thousands of years, so many people sitting and learning in yeshivas and seminaries. And the population there is flourishing. Ken yirbu. You see, kasha yanos and ken yirbu and yifrats. People haven't been there until for 10, 15 years. They come back now and say they can't believe the expansion of the Jews throughout the land. Do you realize that in Satna, the ones who were the forerunners of the Neturei Karta, there's now a segment of the Satma who have forsaken the ideas that the Samaveba, Zatzal, and the Neturei Karta later on promulgated. And they said, we're becoming Toshavim in Eretz Israel. We're setting up settlements, and this is happening now in the West Bank. People are seeing the Geulamo take place in front of our eyes, and the Eretz Israel is an Eretz Avas, Chalav Udavash. On every level, the Chasam Sefer says, Ki Mitzion Teisei Torah V'Hashem Yerushalayim. It's not only Torah is going to come from Eretz Israel, and religion is going to spread around the world. And the whole world's going to become, at the end of days, monotheists, worshipping HaKadosh Baruch Hu's B'nai Noach. And there'll be only one temple in the world, the temple of the Beis HaMikdash. Ki Beis HaFeis Tefilah Karei L'Chol HaAmim. Everybody wants the Temple Mount. Everybody knows that's where God's essence is found. Even Arabs, even Christians know this. But that will come to fruition with the right type of belief, the right type of religion, the B'nai Noach religion, for the Ummah Sa'ilam, if they don't want to become Jews. You have two options at the end of the days. Being a Jew, being a B'nai Noach, Chassid Ummah Sa'ilam, as Chazal tell us. We see this happening slowly but surely. And we have the eternal optimism of Rabbi Akiva telling us, remember Kindalach, the Bris B'nai Abisavim. Remember our indestructibility, our ability to do things wars, geopolitical attainments, the concept of our ability to counter everything trying to oppose us. Our eternal promise to Israel is Arva Russia, not anybody else. And the ultimate concept of to really make the Gula Shlema, it has to be ultimately with Schusim. It might begin as a Gula Shlazaku, but the Rambam says, Sov Yisrael Asis B'tshuva. At the end, Klai will realize all that I'm telling you, and everybody will be a believer at the end of time, B'mos, the coming of the Mashiach. Let's hope and pray that Rabbi Kiva's message was saying on Lag BaOmer, the day that special Rosh Shimon Yochai was one of the five Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva. So we're not just celebrating Rosh Shimon Yochai, we're celebrating Rabbi Kiva when we're celebrating Rosh Shimon Yochai, because he was the Talmid that got his Seidus, his Kabbalistic concepts from the Tanya Rabbi Kiva. This is the celebration of the Eish HaTeva that literally animates Klal Yisrael. Let's hope and pray. And the schus of Torah and mitzvahs of Ma'asim Tovim Chesed, Avas Hashem, Avas HaTorah, Avas Yisrael, and Ava Eretz Yisrael, all of us working together, will bring Mashiach to Cain, the ultimate Gula shall take place, with total ultimate redemption. Everything will reach its level of fruition once again. Even the Gaza Strip will be returned to us, with all the other places in Eretz Yisrael that belong to us. And Bis Mashiach to Cain, and hearing the message of Rabbi Kiva, the messages of Rishim ben Yochai, the messages of Klal Yisrael, and appreciate what's going on before our eyes in Yisrael this day and forever, Me'etz Hashem.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.